You're listening to an American Free Press podcast. On Sunday, October 3rd, Yasser Afifi, 20-year-old computer salesman and community college student, took his car in for an oil change, and his mechanic spotted an odd wire hanging from the undercarriage. The wire was attached to a strange magnetic device that puzzled Afifi and the mechanic. They freed it from the car and posted images of it online, asking for help in identifying it. 2 days later, FBI agents arrived at Afifi's Santa Clara apartment and demanded the return of their property, a global positioning system tracking device now at the center of a raging legal debate over privacy rights. That was from an article by the Associated Press on Saturday, October 16th. Mr. Afifi is represented by attorney Zahra Bilu, who is the executive director of CARE in the San Francisco Bay Area. Zahra, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Zahra, explain to our listeners what CARE is.
Sure. CARE is the nation's largest American Muslim civil rights advocacy group. We're based in D.C. and we were founded in 1994. We have approximately 30-plus offices across the country, and the San Francisco Bay Area office is the oldest regional office.
So CARE is, of course, the Council on American Islamic Relations, and their website is CARE.com, C-A-I-R.com. And you can access all of the 30 satellites from that website, Zahra?
Correct. You can access all of our satellites from that office. You can also learn more about the different staff members and work areas that we focus on.
I guess it goes without saying you folks are a little surprised about what poor Mr. Afifi had discovered under his vehicle, weren't you?
Unfortunately, I would not say that we were surprised. FBI targeting of Arabs, Muslims, and South Asians, as well as just law enforcement targeting of innocent individuals, is not something that is new to this country's history. We were surprised more by the blatant disregard for really any attempt to cover it up or any attempt to be subtle. And that was probably the most appalling part of the story, not so much that he found the device, as unfortunate as that is, that it was placed there, but just the fact that they showed up at his home and, you know, no apologies, no nothing. Just essentially, it's ours, give it back to us.
This fellow, your client, he was born in the United States?
Correct. He was born in the Bay Area. So he is a U.S. native, a U.S. citizen.
And what reason did the FBI give for putting this tracking device on his vehicle?
Mr. Afifi was not provided with any reason for why a GPS tracking device was placed on his car. There are several theories, which include that there was an anonymous tip, that Mr. Afifi fit a certain profile, that maybe this was a test case. And so there's a lot of different theories out there. And the problem with the FBI not coming forward and simply saying what their interest in him was is that they're not giving him an opportunity to cooperate, which he has said he is willing to do.
How long do you think that device was on the car for?
It's difficult to tell. The device was in fairly good condition, which would indicate it had not been on there for a long time, but that's not to say that it was the first device that was placed on there or that it was the only method by which they were tracking him. And so all we know is that the device was fairly new.
So there may be plenty of these devices under the cars of unsuspecting Americans as we speak.
Absolutely. I mean, there's no way of knowing whether or not you're being tracked unless you find the tracking device.
So it might make sense to go have an oil change.
Absolutely, but then have one every day because there's nothing to stop the FBI agents from placing one on your car the next day.
Are you filing a suit against the FBI?
We are in the process of determining what we would like to do next with this incident. First and foremost, we wanted to make sure, and Mr. Afifi was really interested in making sure that the word got out, that people knew that this was happening so often because we don't pay attention to civil rights violations until they hit home like this. Very recently, there was a Ninth Circuit court decision which confirmed that law enforcement does not need a warrant to place a GPS tracking device on a car in a public place. And I would assert that most people were not aware of that decision or of the implications of that decision. And Mr. Afifi's story sort of really brings the issue home and should help people realize that this can happen to anyone. And so that was one of Mr. Afifi's primary goals, is just making sure that people knew that it could happen to them, but also that they knew what to do if it did happen to them. And then the second step is then deciding what to do next. And so we're in the planning stages and seeing where we want to go with this.
Okay. And are you getting any support from any quarters outside of CARE?
Absolutely. I mean, different organizations like the ACLU, like the Electronic Frontier Foundation, and various private attorneys have expressed interest in the case and seeing what they can do to assist with the incident. Secondly, a lot of different individuals in the community have come forward to say that, you know, that they're surprised that this is happening. They're concerned that it could happen to them, and they want to see if there's a way to volunteer their time or what they could do to get involved. And then, you know, the third level of support has actually been from different media professionals who have helped us ensure that the story is being widely disseminated.
Mainstream media?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've been inundated with media for the last, I would say, 10 or 15 days now since it happened, in terms of, I mean, individuals like yourself who are taking time out of your day to call and listen to the story, but also local media outlets. And then this week as well, on the 19th, we were featured on CNN's Headline News. And so to me, that's a good sign that there is interest in the story and people want to see what the ramifications of it are to everyday individuals.
And Mr. Afifi, was he rocked by this? Was he shocked by it? How's he doing?
The first reaction that he shared was that, you know, that he was surprised and concerned. There was that idea of why me and why are all of these law enforcement agents interested in me? So that was the first level. And then the second level was and remains confusion related to the why me question. There is nothing in Mr. Afifi's background that would signal that he is of concern to national security. And so without that, why him? And if it could happen to him, could it happen to his friends, family members, and community members? And that's sort of the level of concern that Mr. Afifi has put out there.
Sure. Finding this out could really have a harmful effect on somebody's psyche, that they're being watched, that they're being tracked. You kind of lose all sense of security and privacy, don't you?
Exactly. I absolutely agree. And again, it's this, you know, when are they watching? What are they watching? And that idea of having Big Brother intruding on your life can be very challenging. And again, not just for, I mean, and one of the concerns here is that it's not just this individual who's impacted, it's an entire community. Because when Arabs, Muslims, South Asians see Mr. Afifi, they often, you know, they'll see themselves reflected in him. And the concern is, if it could happen to him, it could happen to me. Or it could very well be happening to me right now, and I simply don't know.
Right. Is there a big Muslim Arab community out in the San Francisco Bay Area?
Absolutely. The estimates in the Bay Area are approximately 250,000 American Muslims. And Mr. Afifi lives near the largest Islamic center in the Bay Area. And so there's definitely a large population here.
So no explanation from the FBI, any apologies from the FBI or from any government agencies?
No apologies. And that's sort of the concern, is not only was the FBI so outrageous in targeting Mr. Afifi, again, where there have been no allegations and no evidence brought against him, but also their stance has been and continues to be, well, the courts have said we can do this, and so we've been doing this. This is not news.
That's heartening, or should I say disheartening. Any idea about why they targeted your client?
My client is a 20-year-old Arab-American male who goes to school, who is a Muslim, who works and has family internationally. He travels on average of once or twice a year to the Middle East. And those are all, unfortunately, factors that are being profiled by the FBI. And again, without success. That's not to say that racial profiling is successful, and so it's concerning when they're participating in it. And Mr. Afifi fits that profile.
As do, I'm sure, a lot of people across this country.
As do approximately 6+ million people, exactly. And that's the concern, and that's sort of what CARE has been saying about racial profiling for years now, is that it's ineffective and it doesn't work.
How do you see the outcome of this unfolding?
First and foremost, you know, the outcome we were hoping for is getting the word out, ensuring that people know what to do if they're visited by the FBI. Mr. Afifi's case is particularly outrageous because of the tracking device and because of just the openness in violating his civil rights. He is not the only one to be targeted in this way. We've learned of others who have been targeted in this way, but also our office receives an average of one new complaint each week of an unwanted FBI or Joint Terrorism Task Force contact with a community member, and there we're providing free legal representation. But the concern is that people don't know and people don't realize that this is a growing concern, that our tax dollars are being spent in this way. And so first and foremost, we wanted to make sure to get the word out there. And then the second thing was to, you know, see if there is a way to protect Mr. Afifi from future harassment of this nature.
Yeah, I saw in a press release that was issued by CARE where you said it's outrageous that these Muslim community members continue to be targeted by FBI agents without any allegations or evidence of wrongdoing. My client's encounter raises concerns that the FBI's precious investigative resources are being squandered on domestic intelligence escapades that target innocent Americans. You know, when will these guys learn? It doesn't seem like they will.
I would argue that, yeah, so far they have not. And so that gives me a little hope in terms of the FBI in the future. But I think that the people of this country sort of have an understanding and a grasp of our Fourth Amendment rights and are concerned that these violations continue to occur and do realize, and I'm hopeful that people do realize that they don't make us any safer.
Is CARE putting together any program in support of your client?
CARE is not putting together any program specifically in support of Mr. Afifi, but this is an area that is of high interest to us. And so a lot of 2010 was actually spent delivering Know Your Rights workshops across the Bay Area at different mosques and Muslim Student Association meetings. And the idea there was, again, so that in case the next Afifi case comes up, people know what to do and how to react. And we're going to continue to focus our energy there because our concern is that there are a lot of people that still don't know how to address such a situation.
Mm-hmm. I see on your website that you have a civil rights workshop next month. Is that right?
For individuals who are living in the Bay Area, or really anyone who might be connected to CARE across the country, all of our events are free and all of our services are free. And I always remind people of that because when the FBI shows up at your door, you don't want to have to worry about whether or not you can afford an attorney. And for that very reason, we provide free services to individuals who have been targeted in this way. The way we do that is through community support. And so for individuals in the Bay Area, our annual supporters dinner is on Sunday, November 7th in San Jose, and people are more than welcome to come. There's information on our website. And dinners like that are really how we continue to provide the services that we do at no cost to community members.
That's very nice. I hope that there aren't too many more people who have to come to CARE's offices for legal representation because they found devices under their cars. But really, it might make sense for those folks in the Muslim and Arab communities to pay closer attention to the undercarriage of your vehicle. I think there are even some devices like mirrors that you can use to check in the undercarriage. Is that something you recommend folks to do?
I mean, you know, we walk a very fine line in terms of being cautious of our surroundings in terms of Big Brother and also sort of falling into the realm of paranoia. And so I always tell people that it's really important to sort of live life in a way where you dot all of your I's and cross all of your T's so that if you are not in trouble, you are not inadvertently giving law enforcement material on yourself. The concern with checking our cars is that even if a device isn't there today, there could be one there tomorrow. And there's no surefire way of guaranteeing that you have found all devices. And so there's a joke in the community right now that mechanics would probably make a nice Christmas bonus if they were to offer a deal with an oil change. We'll check for GPS devices. But again, we've got to be careful to not live in a state of paranoia.
The FBI came to your client's apartment and they, in a stone-faced, stoic way, just said, turn it over, not thank you very much?
Essentially, I mean, well, they pulled him over outside of his apartment. He was pulled over by unidentified law enforcement and, you know, asked to step out of his car. And when he did, two FBI agents came forward and they, you know, explained that they were looking for the device. They asked where it was. They threatened to arrest him if he did not cooperate. And Mr. Afifi, like any other individual who might be frightened or nervous in that scenario, was not going to call these officers on their bluff. He turned over the device and there was no thank you. There was no we're sorry. And instead, it was followed by more intrusive questioning. And so it included questions like, have you ever been to Yemen? Have you ever been to a training camp of any sort? And, you know, he cooperated fully and in the end was told essentially, well, we found you to be quite boring, which, you know, again, is problematic. So that means that they wasted tax dollars on this GPS device. They wasted tax dollars tracking Mr. Afifi. They wasted tax dollars in questioning him in his home only to determine that he was boring. Is that not something that could have been mitigated? And at the same time, in addition to the targeting of him as an individual and the community at large, one has to often take a step back and ask, does this make us any safer? And I would argue that it does not, because what it does is it undermines our trust in law enforcement, in the effectiveness of law enforcement. And once that happens, are we any safer when the people that are supposed to be protecting us are the ones that are very well harming us?
Absolutely. Anything that our listeners can do to help you folks out?
Like I said, we provide these services free of charge. People are more than welcome to donate at care.com. That's CAIR.com. The other thing that we ask people to do is to spread the word. So often people simply don't know what is happening because we're so overwhelmed with work and school and our daily lives. And so if they're listening and they are interested in this story, I would urge them to share the story with their friends and family members.
Now, we can get updates of this case on your website, Zahra?
Absolutely. If they go to care.com, any notable updates would be posted there. One of the things that I want to urge people to remember, if they are approached by law enforcement, whether it's the FBI or the Joint Terrorism Task Force or really any other law enforcement agency, is to always remember that you have two key rights in these situations. The first one is the right to remain silent, and the second one is the right to an attorney. Those are constitutionally protected rights, and I would go so far as to say that an individual who asserts those rights in that situation is being patriotic, and so I would recommend people to consider asserting those rights when and if they find themselves in a similar situation.
Thank you for saying that. Zahra Bilu, Executive Director of CARES San Francisco Bay Area Office, thanks so much for the time you spent with us today, and wish you the best of luck in this case.
Thanks for having me, Dave.